As always, the Dibetersh Vinimimish from Surgash and Minervari Lev. This week is Parshas Bamidbar. It also coincides with being Erev Shavuos, and therefore contained within the Shabbos is already all the skudos of the Yom Tov, and we'll try and talk and address that as well. The Sefer is called Sefer Bamidbar. The Parsha begins, and the Parsha itself is called Parsha Bamidbar. Dabar Hashem al Moshe Bamidbar Sinai. What does this word Bamidbar mean? In Lashon HaKodesh, the word Bamidbar can have two explanations. As we know, we look at the word without the vowels, and we look at the word with the vowels. There's one way of reading it as Bamidbar. As we know also, there's can come from the Shoresh of Yadber Amim Tachtenu, that we will have other nations which will be ruled by us, so Dabar Echod Lador, one ruler for the generation. And L'chore, it depends on Klal Yisrael, whether we are in a situation of Midbar, meaning whether there's desolation, or whether we have Yad Be'am Tachteno, we're ruling over other nations. And Rav Zevin, in his Sefer Torah L'Mayadim, says a beautiful thought. He says that this pasuk of Yad Be'amim Tachteno Lo'umim Tachas Ragleinu doesn't mean that we're going to subjugate the nations to ourselves, we're going to make them subservient to us, we're going to impose our authority over them, because the previous pasuk says that Kolo Amim Tikuchov Horiyu Le'elokim B'Kairino. So they're going to come, they're going to be clapping their hands, they're going to be shouting B'Kairino, they're going to be coming to Klal Yisrael wanting to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that to follow and say Yad Be'amim Tachteinu means that we're going to make them subservient to us, it's not necessary, there is no necessity for that. And therefore, yes, there are times where Le'esor Machim B'Zikim V'Nichbedeh Mechav Le'Barzel, sometimes you'll take them in chains and you'll take them in cuffed. Over here, that won't be a necessity. In which case, what does this mean, Yad Be'amim Tachteinu? It means something other than to make them subservient to us. And he wants to suggest perhaps a different pshat. He said, the Svarim write that at the beginning of Psuki de Zimra, where we begin with the Pasuk, Hoidu Lashem Kiru Vishmoi, Hoidu Vo'amim Ali Loisov. And he says that the Svarim write that this Lo'amim does not mean to the nations of the world. Hoidu Lashem, praise Hashem, Kiru Vishmoi, let's call out in his name. Hoidu Vo'amim will make it known amongst the nations, Ali Loisov. It does not mean, it's not referring to the nations of the world. It's referring to the koichas within us that are called the multitude of koichas, which are the amim within ourselves, say the Mefarshim. That means every person has within themselves the koichas of every Baal Chai and the koichas of every Ummah. Every Yid contains within himself all the the energies and powers of every koyach in the world. The tachlis of tefillah isn't just that we should take our neshama, our nefesh alokis, the more ruchnistic a part of us and bimale that. It's also to make our guf and the gashmistik akoichas hoidiu v'amim, make known in those gashmistik akoichas and in loisa of the ways of our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when they came to Matan Torah, what change happened? What change happened to Kadosh Baruch Hu? They were keeping Torah beforehand. Avraham Avinu kept the whole of Torah. The Obis kept the whole of Torah. So what changed when Kadosh Baruch Hu came? Until then, it was more of a Avraham Avinu, when he kept the Torah, he was keeping Torah, as Chazal tell us, he was more of a Echod Hoya Avraham. He was keeping the pnimius of Torah. He was keeping the Torah based on the fact that he appreciated, understood, saw, felt, understood from the Bria, and he was keeping the pnimius of Torah. Came along the mitzvahs of the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, I'm now mitzaveh you to keep certain mitzvahs, to do certain actions, to get involved with the world that you live in, and make this gashmistik a world that is subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yadbeir amim tachteinu. Go and take all the koichas of the world, the amim is referring to all the koichas of the world, and make them subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, when we left Mitzrayim, we left as a nation, there was still bad in the world. We'd run away from it, but it was still there, and it still wanted to try and attack us. We just had removed ourselves from it and gone away and tried to run away from it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Torah, he gives us the ability to keep tabs on and to control Torah itself. That's the Yad Be'amim Tachteinu, is the koyach that we have to subdue the amim of the world, I mean the koichas of the world that potentially could come and ensnare us and overthrow us. That's what happens when through our Torah. And therefore he says that Bamidbar, until then we were in a midbar. We were in Tziyov, being pursued by the Yetzirah, being pursued by the Koyach Hara, which we had run away from in Mitzrayim. And then the Rebbe Yeshua says, fine, I'm now giving you Torah, with which you will be able to change yourselves from being a Midbar, or from being running away in the Midbar, to being a Medaber, to being a Yadber, Amim Tachteinu, to ruling over, and being in charge of the Koyachos in the world. Later on in the parasha is a very interesting concept that Klal Yisrael had, the concept of the Golim. Every Shevet had its flag. Each flag had a particular color, the same color as the color of their stone on the Choshen. So everyone knew where they belonged. It wasn't just that they knew where they belonged. They knew when they were away from their camp, or away from where their tent, somewhere in the desert or in the rest of the Machane of Klal Yisrael, they would be able to look up, see where their flag was, and know where they needed to journey to. Where did this whole concept of the Golim come from? We would think the Golem really is a whole concept of Pirut. Everyone has their flag, their color. It brings separation amongst Klal Yisrael, division. Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting such a thing just when he's giving them the Mishkan, a Mishkan where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah is going to be there? Shekhinah is a representation of Achdus. Why then does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the Golem? And where did Klal Yisrael have this concept of the Golem from? The Medrash actually tells us, Klal Yisrael saw at the time of Matan Torah, the Malachim, Kitois, Kitois, Degolim, Degolim. Klal Yisrael saw the beauty of Malachim in groups, unique groups, represented as Degolim. Each one, so to speak, had their own flag. Each one was from a group that was on its own. Klal Yisrael wanted it. Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Rabbeinu Shalom says to him, you know, Klal Yisrael, they want Degolim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm a bit nervous about that. Degolim represents Pirut. What are we going to do? Everyone's going to ascribe themselves to a particular flag. I'm this color, you're that color. I'm this stone, you're that stone. I'm this. It's going to bring to Pirut. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, no, it depends. It depends how that is understood. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky beautifully says in the parasha, as long as each person follows singularly their flag, you're right. Then it's Pirut. But where each flag is representing something unique that we have to offer, but it's circled around a center point, which is the Shechina, and now we're all focused towards that, we're all facing the middle, just using our unique koichas to, for the joint purpose, for a joint goal, then it works. You know, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, they say, was approached by Napoleon. Napoleon came into him, he's on a private engagement. I want to ask what your opinion is, the Jews, you Chachomim, you're one of the leaders of the Jews. Am I going to succeed in conquering Russia? So Reb Chaim Volozhin said to him, you know, Napoleon was a very clever person. He was an extremely clever person. He once went past a Kalina Shul. You know how they done it in a Kalina Shul, yeah? Everyone screams and shouts. He said, you know how clever the Jews are? They put all their Meshugoyim in one shul. Right? He was a very clever man, Napoleon. So Napoleon says to Reb Chaim Volozhin, am I going to succeed in conquering Russia? Am I going to succeed? I've never managed to conquer Russia. By the way, I heard that from a Kalina. That story. Am I going to succeed in conquering Russia? No one's ever managed to. The truth is, neither did he. No one's ever managed since. So he wanted to know from Reb Chaim Volozhin. Says, I'll tell you a mashal. There was a prince who was traveling in his chariot, being drawn by four stallions, each stallion, unique stallion, one from Egypt, one from Dubai, one from Italy, one from Spain. Each one was meyuchad shebedoyro, meyuchad shebimekoyma. It was drawing along. And they hit a rut in the side of the road, and the chariot got stuck. So the riders get out, and they're trying to move it this way, and they're trying to move it that way, and they're trying to maneuver this, and they're trying to maneuver there. Nothing's working. And after hours of trying this and trying that, they're starting to be meyayish. And comes by a little wagon with three bedraggled, nebuchadnezzar looking horses. And a farmer jumps and says, well, what's the problem? So the riders, the drivers, they tell him, he says, no problem. Unharness those four horses. He takes his three horses, unharnesses them from his little cart, harnesses them to this chariot of the king. One, two, three, which, boom, and the thing comes out. How did it happen? How did it work? The prince is amazed, and he comes to the farmer. He says, how did you do it? He says, it's really simple. He says, I can see each of those horses, each one's from a completely different place. they don't know each other. They don't come from the same background. There's nothing about them that they're not the same breed. There's nothing about them that connects them. So each one's sort of pulling it in its own direction, doing its own thing. They're not working in unison. It says, mine may look, Nebuchadnezzar, of it's a mother and her two kids. And when they pull together. And they manage to get it out. It says, Napoleon, I want to tell you something. You've amassed a massive army. Massive army. You began in France. You swept across Europe. So you've got a platoon from a whole regiment from Spain. And you've got another one from Italy. And another one from France. And another one from Germany. And another one from Turkey. And another one from Cyprus. And another one from Greece. Beautiful. But when you enter into battle against these Russians, each general wants his division of the army to be the one that's going to be the one to conquer Russia, so that he can return home with the wreath of honor around his head. So the Russians, they may not know tactical warfare, they may not know anything about how to fight a war, but they're all fighting for one cause. They're all fighting for Mother Russia. And because they're unified, you're not going to be able to break them. The Kahava didn't succeed. No one has ever succeeded. And that's really what Pare knew when he said, Hobo nishakmo loy. Let's break down the unity of Klal Yisrael, because when they're unified, there's no way that you can break them. If there'll be a war, he says, in tactical warfare, if everyone's fighting for a unified cause, then it works. And the same thing happens when Klal Yisrael are working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every person has their unique talents, their unique koichos. Every shevet has a unique shoresh which they emanate from. And therefore, since they come from a unique source of where their neshamas emanate from, so this shevet may daven a certain nusach of tefillah. That shevet davens a slightly different nusach of tefillah. That shevet's dialect is like that, and that shevet's dialect is like that, and they bring this flavor, and they bring the other flavor, but you know what they're all doing? They're all focused on a central point. And since they're focused on a central point, and they're focused towards the middle, then you can have degolim, because they're not broken, they're not fractioned, heading in different directions, they're all heading to a center point. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasis, the Gemara says, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasis, Mochoy La Tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a circle for the Tzadikim. V'hu Yoyshev Beneim Began Eden. He's going to sit in the middle of them in Gan Eden, and every single Tzadik will point to the middle and say, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Loi. So if that's the said, what's Pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a circle for them? He says, you know what Pshat in that is? In a circle, every single point on the circumference is equidistant from the center point. But every point on that circumference is looking from a different angle at that center point. And I can be standing over here, and the person directly opposite me is facing the opposite direction, doing a completely opposite avodah even, but is focused on the central point. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a macho, because not only do we see that everyone looks at it from a different point, but it can be focused on the center. But you know what else will happen? As you go around that circle, you stand on exactly where everyone else stood. And you'll see from their vantage point, they had a clear picture of that center point, and they were focused on the Shechina. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show us, that every single one of us has an avodah. Every single one of us has a unique avodah. Every single shevet has a unique flavor of its avodah. And when it's focused around the central point, then there is achdus, even though there may be diversity. Because there's unity, not uniformity. That, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, is what was possible now. Klal Yisrael, they came out of Mitzrayim, they went to Har Sinai, they wanted to be B'Degolim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, not yet. Ah, now, Mishahukam HaMishkon, you've got a Mishkon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a month later, now you can have D'Golim. Because now you've got that central point around which you'll all be camped in your Degolim, so that the division, the diversity that's there doesn't bring to a breakdown in Klal Yisrael, doesn't bring to fractioning Klal Yisrael. On the contrary, it brings more flavor, but all focused on that central point. Now that you've got a Mishkan, so there's no chashash for the Degolim. We made it in our parasha, we suddenly talk about the Degolim, and we're told about that about that mitzvah over here. Moving on to Shavuos, one of the things we know, the famous Gemara tells us, there's a Gemara in Sota, Daf Hei Omed Aleph, which says that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have a Shminis Sheba Shminis Sheba Gaiva, an eighth of an eighth, 1/64th of Gaiva. We know from Har Sinai, the fact that the Torah was given in a Midbar, the fact that it was given on the lowest mountain, the fact that Torah is compared to water, which always goes from a highest point and flows downstream to a lower point, that the Anova is a central theme and a prerequisite and a factor that is imperative for anyone who wants to be Koine Torah and wants to have a Shaychus to Torah. The Rebbe Reb Heschel, the Shach's Rebbe, this is the author of the Chanukah Satorah, says a beautiful gedank to appreciate where does this Gemara in Sota get it from, that Atamat Chacham? What's the Makor? It's allowed a 64th, an eighth of a Gaiva. So he says like this. He says there's a Gemara, also a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Tzadi Tes Aleph, which says, B'shor Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litin HaTorah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Kal Yisrael the Torah, Bo Har Tovar, Shu Gavaya Mikol Ehorim, Har Tovar came, the highest of all mountains, and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should give the Torah on me. Har HaKarmel came, Har Hermon came. The Rabbi Shlomo said, Ani Shoichin Es Dako, I will put my Shechina on a lower place. And what did he choose? He chose Har Sinai Shu Nomuch Mikol Ehorim. For what? To show and teach Kal Yisrael Midas Anivus. Says the Rebbe Reb Heschel, the Gemara in Meseches Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, says that Har Tovar is four parsa high. Four parsa. Now, we know from the Gemara, four parsa is actually the minimum shiur that a person has to... Sorry, no, not four parsa. One parsa is the minimum shiur to travel in order to say to Rasa there. Four parsa. We know that four parsa is... each parsa contains within it 4 mil. 4 mil in one parsa. So if there's four parsa, so you've got 16 mil. Each mil is the shiur, a mil is the shiur of Tchum Shabbos. It's 2,000 amas. So if you have here 16 mil of 2,000 amas, 16 times 2, you have 32,000 amas. Har Tovar is 32,000 amas high. That's the Gemara Baba Basra. Four parsa means 16 mil, which means 32,000 amas. He says there's a medrash in Parshas Bo that says that Har Sinai was only 500 amas high. Har Sinai was only 500 amas high. So he says now we can understand the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota once tells us HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the highest mountain came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that mountain that's 32,000 amas high, comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, give the Torah on me, I'm the tallest mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I want to teach Kal Yisrael Anivus. So like the Rebbe Reb Heschel, okay, so go give it in a valley. Go give it on flat land. Or give it on another mountain. You want to teach them Anivus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, but sometimes there's a Talmud Chacham that will need to have Gaiva for certain things, to drive a point home, to stand up for Torah. In those cases, the amount he's allowed to have is commensurate to the distinction between Har Sinai and Har Tovar. Har Sinai was 500 amas high, Har Tovar was 32,000 amas high, which means Har Sinai was 1/64th of Har Tovar. So a shminis, sheva shminis, an eighth of an eighth, which is 1/64th, is the amount of gaiva that a person is allowed, that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have. Possibly that also could be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing us that a person has to have a certain, not a gaiva, but a pride in the correct way of what I am, like the Igeres HaRamban, and the Ramban writes to his son about the importance of being koneh the midah of anova, and he says over there, he tells him about this midah of anova that he wants him to acquire and he wants him to have and embrace and live with. So he tells him like this: "Lochin aforeish lecha, I'll explain to you ich tisnai b'midas haanova lo leches boi tamid. I'll tell you how to do it. Kol dvarecha yiyu benachas. All your words should be pleasant." Roishcha kofuf, your head should be bent over. Veinecha yavito lamato laoretz. Of a very important word, velivcha lamalo. Remember, you have in your heart, chelek elokam imal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's giving you a neshama. A person has to have anova. A person can't lose their self-esteem because of that. A person has to have that. That's the Har Sinai was the smallest of all the mountains. The self-esteem that needs to be there, and that's the fact that Torah is given on a mountain, it's not given in a valley, it's not that way, it's nothing. But a person is allowed to have, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have that Shminis Shabbos Shabbos. Not so long ago, we said the Dayenos in the by the Seder. And famously we said, Ilu kervonu lifnei Har Sinai veloi nosan ono es HaTorah Dayen. And my Shmei Zichrona Levracha, every single year he used to say, at least the years that I was by his Seder, which was 13, 14 years, every year, how can a Yid live without Torah? What's a life without Torah? Without Torah, how can you? So to be honest with you, this year I was thinking, I don't really understand that kasha so much, because before we got to Har Sinai, we'd already been in a place called Mara. We'd been given the mitzvah of Shabbos, Kibud Avayim, Dinim, which is basically Chayshe Mishvot, and Parah Aduma. I mean, with that, I think we've got sufficient amount of Torah to keep us each going a lifetime. Chayshe Mishvot, Shabbos, Kibud Avayim, Parah Aduma. So we would have had Torah. But what does this mean? V'lo Nosal Nes HaTorah. What does it mean? V'lo Nosal Nes. So we already were given a whole load of mitzvahs, which are Torah. What does that mean anyway? So in the last year of his life, he was really excited about the find that he made. He's found Rabbi Yashiv's grandfather, the Leshem, says a pshat like this. He said there's two parts of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us when he gave us the Torah. He gave us the actual Torah. That, there's no question about it. A Yid can't live without Torah. We need Torah, Avada. That's not what we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we say, if you would have brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, not Torah at all, then we would have been in it. No, that's not what he's talking about. He said, what he's saying is, Ilu kervanu lifnei Har Sinai, velo nosan lonu es HaTorah. In every day, we know that even a baskel doesn't pass in the halacha, because Torah lo ba shomayimi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael. Not only did he give us Torah to Klal Yisrael, information about mitzvahs, about ways that we can be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he also said that when you're going to have a shayla, and you're going to want to know how to paskin, I'm giving over the koyach of psak to you, Klal Yisrael, that your chachmei hadoyer in every doyer, al piroi will paskin, or the av based in a particular place will paskin. Not only will that be the halacha, but based in shalmala, and the whole of nature will conform to whatever that psak is. So, Ilu kervanu lifnei Har Sinai, v'lo nosan, lonu es haTorah. If you would have given us Torah, but you wouldn't have made us in a certain way, balabatim over it, dayenu. Because we still would have had Torah, we still would have had a way of life, we still would have been able to have a connection with you, we still would have known how to conduct ourselves throughout our life. Oh, but now, Allah has come over, come a Torah mechufulo mechupeles, that not only did you bring us to Har Sinai, v'lo nosan, lonu es haTorah. You gave us Torah that we are in charge of it. We can decide what the halacha is, meaning Klal Yisrael's gedolim decide what the halacha is, and then the whole of nature conforms to it. That's something which is unique. The Bach, in Hilchus Talmud Torah, in Halachos of Brikas HaTorah, when it discusses there the fact that it's one of the only mitzvahs we have where you make two brachas on a mitzvah. You never make two brachas on a mitzvah. So we know we say Lasik B'Divrei Torah, and we also say Ashabach Harbonu Mikolam every morning, two brachas. Where does it come from to say two brachas on a mitzvah? Bach is in Sima Mem Zayin. The 47th Simon, is the mitzvah. So we say Brikas HaTorah, Torah Chizobah, Ma'od Torah Chavarech, being the Mikra, being the Mishnah, and the Gemara, and then we are told what the Brikas are, what the Brachas are. Asheki Dishonu Mitzvot Yitzivanu Al HaTorah, or Lasik Yitzivaseh, V'Harevno, V'Ashabach Harbonu. Frank the Bach, where does it come from that you say two Brachas? We never say two Brachas on a mitzvah. So he says, one of them is the Brikas HaMitzvahs, like any mitzvah. Alachilas Matzah, Lahadlik Neshel Shabbos, Lahadlik Neshel Yom Tov, Leishiv Basuka, Lasik B'Divrei Torah. That's a bracha on the mitzvah. And then, there are certain brachas which we have, which are called Brikas HaShevach. They're brachas where we're Meshabeach the Rabbeinu Shalom. For example, he says, when you go to a chuppah, the first set of brachas, the Brikas HaErusin, She'osalonis HaRusin, Hitronis HaNasuizan, and the Chuppah V'Kiddushin, that's being Meshabeach the Rabbeinu Shalom. You gave us these beautiful mitzvah, these mitzvahs of Erusin and Kiddushin. And the truth is, the Taz and Hilchas Shechita says, you could say that bracha any time, whenever you want, you could say that bracha, really. Because it's being meshabeach the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Just Chazal v'kaveh, when do you say that Birkas HaShevach? You say that one by a chuppah. There's a Birkas HaShevach called Ashevach Harbonu Mikol Ha'amim V'Nosalnes. We could say that any time, any day. Rabbeinu Shleilam, you chose us, you gave us the Torah. Chazal v'kaveh, you know when you say that? Every morning before you start to learn. But it's a Birkas HaShevach, so there's two brachas. There's a Birkas HaMitzvah and a Birkas HaShevach. What do we mean being meshabeach the Rabbeinu Shleilam for? The Bach said something very interesting. He says, we're being meshabeach the Rabbeinu Shleilam for having given us Ma'amad Har Sinai. That he gave us Ma'amad Har Sinai. He gave us this unique experience of Ma'amad Har Sinai. He didn't just give us the Torah. He gave us the Torah with a Ma'amad Har Sinai. And that came with many skulas. One of the skulas was that Torah can change a person. The learning of Torah changes a person. You become a better human being by learning Torah. It also gave us this skula that we're in charge of Torah. I'm giving you Klal Yisrael Torah, and from now on, Teva's going to conform to what you decide Torah is. So that's Asher Bocha Bonu Mikol Ha'amim V'Nosan Lonu. That's Torah also. Asher Bocha Bonu Mikol Ha'amim. How's the bracha go? Asher Bocha Bonu Mikol Ha'amim V'Nosan Lonu Es Torah also. He gave us his Torah. That what? That now we're in charge of it. In a certain, meaning, we decide what the halacha is. Roiv chachme hadoir, or the basin of a particular place, or the maradas of a particular place, they decide what it is, and the whole of Teva conforms to it. That's the brach. The Chassam Sefer that asked a different question. Asher bochar bonu mikol ha'amim. Really, the Rebbeinu chose us? From what we know, the Medrash in the beginning of Parashat Vezos HaBracha, Hofia Mahar Paron, how does it start off? Hashem misin haibel v'zorach miseir lama. He went to say, "Hofia me'ar poron from the Arabs." V'asmir Rebbeinu went. He offered it to this umma. They said, "No, thank you." This one, no, thank you. This one. You know what? There was one group left, and Baruch Hashem, they said, "Yeah." So the Rebbeinu chose us. Hashem bochar bonu mikol ha'amim. We saved you. You had no one else to give it to, and we said, "Nasa v'nishma." What does it mean? Hashem bochar bonu mikol ha'amim. There's a beautiful Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer. It's asked by a few people. The Chassam Sefer in his drushes, it says, not here in Shulis, and somewhere else, he says a beautiful mashal to explain. He says there was a father who had a huge, huge estate. Fields, orchards, vineyards, properties. One of the things he had was a gold mine. An untouched gold mine. He intended that before he moves on from this world, he's going to sit all his children around the table and give out to everyone before he goes, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours, make a chalukah, that a peaceful chalukah, and everyone gets it. He wanted one particular son to get the gold mine, but he can't be Mishane Bein Abonim. So he came up with an idea. He would go for walks with him through the years, and he would explain to him about the mechanisms and the expertise of digging a mine, the investment that you need to be able to do it, and then how to purify the gold, how to extract it, what to do with it, etc., etc. By Yiyo, he sits down with his children. He says to them, "Look, we're going to make a chalukka now, and this is what I've got to offer." And they see the vastness of what the father has to give to them. He said, "But I want to start off first. I have an untapped gold mine." Most of the kids look at each other and say, "We don't know how to dig. We don't know how to hew. We don't know how to purify. Forget it." He says, "Look, who wants this? This is actually potentially worth more than everything else put together." No. It's going to take a lifetime to be able to access it. This one kid said, "I'll have it." He was being prepared. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Ovis. He gave us the Shivtei Koh. He gave us a history, a wealth of history, a wealth of information, that when he would come and offer us the Torah, everyone else would say, "There's a gold mine here, but we don't know how to decipher it, we don't know how to decode it, we don't know how to dig into it. Nah, forget it, let's just give it to someone else, give us Olam Hazeh." Came to Klal Yisrael and said, no, we'll have that. Yeah, we've got precedent, we've got the Ovos, we've got the Shivtei Koh, they've given us the tools and Koichas HaNefesh and that which we need in order that we should be able to delve into the Torah and be able to understand it and be able to keep it. Shavuos is the yartzeit of David HaMelech. David HaMelech in Kapitel Kuf Gimel, he says, "Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Hasoleach lechol avoneichi, Haroyfei lechol tachloichi, Hagoyer mishachas chayoichi, Hamasviah b'toiv edyeich, Tischadish kamnesher nuroichi." Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you saved my life, you forgave me for my averus, you pulled me out of Gehenim, you've given me parnasa, and you know what? Tischadish kamnesher nuroichi, you've renewed my koiches like a nesher. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Rashi says there's a type of a nesha, a type of a bird. Kuf Gimel. Says Rashi, there's a type of a nesha that every year sheds its wings and grows new wings with which it has koichas, refreshed koichas as if it's young. Like it's young again. David HaMelech says, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, after everything I may have done, you've forgiven me, you put me out of Gehenna. Not only that, you've given me a refuah from illnesses, not only that, you've given me so much pranasa, and you know what? I would have thought, after what I've done, okay, so you'd be mechapim and you give me all these things. Oh, but, you know, haltzachlein. No. Tis chadish kanesh anu roichi. You've given me refreshed koichas like a nesha that I, not just stomach a bird, like a nesha that can fly higher than any other bird in the Bria. Perhaps that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before Mamad Har Sinai, tells Kal Yisrael, you know, you're a little miyayash here. Vayisu merafidim. What was the refidim? What were they roughing? What were roughing you there? Why were they? The Mepharshim say they were a little miyayish. You know what? 50 days ago, we were still serving Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim. Halalo evde Avodah Zarah v'halalo evde. We can get the Torah. Says Rabbeinu Shlalem. V'esai eschem al kanfei nesharim. I've renewed your koichas. Shed those old wings and you've got new ones with which you can soar to heights, the highest of heights that any barrier can get to. Tischadish kaneshen u'roichi dovad amenach. Yotza is on Shavuos. We get that renewed koyach every Shavuos that we can be mekabel Torah again. And with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya that we should actually be able to soar to those heights and accomplish so much in this coming year that eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take us once again al kanfei nesharim, which should be zoicha to the geula shleima.